so you'll have to be inspired to just pay attention. Little boy blue, come blow your horn. The sheep's in the meadow. The cows are in the corn. But where is the little boy who looks after the sheep? He's under the haystack, fast asleep. Today, from the land of nursery rhymes, we meet yet another would-be shepherd. But like little Bo Peep, who we met last week, I don't think little boy blue quite understands the job description. How do I know? Well, where are his sheep? They're out in the meadow. They're not in the safety of the pen. They're rambling the hillside. That means they are vulnerable to predators and dangers. It will allow them to eventually wander away. Who knows? Maybe they'll meet up with Bo Peep sheep and they'll form a new flock. I don't know. But here's the important thing. Where's the little boy that's supposed to look after the sheep? He's under the haystack fast asleep. Now, the picture that you see, and this is the picture that usually you see in a nursery rhyme book, that picture is wrong. How do I know? Because there's little boy blue. He's not under the haystack. It just kind of looks like he's kind of dozed off. He has actually crawled under the haystack. That means he didn't doze off just counting his sheep. He made a willful decision to get under the haystack and hide from his responsibilities. That means he can't see the sheep, and the sheep can't see him. And it says he's fast asleep. So this isn't just he decided to take 20 winks and, you know, kind of take a little side nap. It says he has reached the point that he is all the way asleep. So he's been under this haystack long enough that he is totally out of it. Kind of like probably most of us were on Thursday after we ate all the turkey and we sat down to try to watch what I guess was a football game. That's okay. I'll get over it, really. And you know what? Before long, you were... That's little boy blue. And so I bring this to you because we're going to continue in this idea. We're doing this topic that we're calling sheepish. And it's because we are moving forward and getting to know God. Remember how we got here? We met God in the beginning, all the way back at creation. Then when we left creation, we took a tour of God's house and we walked through and we looked at God's house. And then when we were all done with that, we took a walk through God's neighborhood and we met all these kind of people that God loved. And we learned something about God, that how much he loves people. And now we're doing some on-the-job training in his chosen profession, that being a shepherd. And many times when we think about shepherd and we think about God, we go to where we talked last week when we talk about the good shepherd. But you need to understand the idea of being a shepherd, of God being a shepherd, has nothing to do exactly with that, because God called himself a shepherd all the way back in Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 and 12. This is what it says. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them as the shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them. So I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they have scattered on the day of the clouds and darkness. See, God calls himself the shepherd, but just so you know, he had a habit of recruiting shepherds. I'm sure you know these names, right? Abel, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, David. I think you get the point, right? All of them did something mighty for God. And all of them started their career as a shepherd. And as you turn the pages of Scripture, there are many great shepherd stories. But today, we're going to talk about the bad shepherd. I couldn't resist, okay? It started out as just bad, and I just had to... We're going to talk about being a bad shepherd. So I got two things to ask of you. Hey, look, you don't have your fill in the blank, so one of these is going to be real easy. I'd like for you to follow along in Scripture this morning. We're going to put the Scriptures up here, but I'd like you to pull out a Bible. We're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 34. If you don't have a Bible with you and you're going to grab one out the pew rack, let me give you a shortcut, page 834. Okay, that's where I'm going to be eventually. And the other thing that I got to give you is the warning label. Many sermons, when you do them, everybody goes home and you feel really good. I mean, that was a great sermon. I learned so. This is not a feel-good sermon. As a matter of fact, of all the sermons that I've written, this is probably fits at least into the top five most convicting sermons that I've ever sat down and tried to pen, because I had to keep saying, God, I can't preach this. Because guess what? That makes me a hypocrite. Because I think oftentimes I am a bad shepherd. I've forgotten my responsibilities. But I think that's kind of the good thing about doing sermons like this, because I am not preaching to you. God is preaching through me, because I am learning as much about this as you are. So let's get started, and let's get started with the job summary. And unfortunately, the job summary doesn't come as a post in the help wanted. It comes at what we would call the annual review. You're getting ready to do those at your places of employment, right? If you're working, you know, at the end of the year, they tell you that, hey, look, we're going to tell you how you did for the year. And so God is going to give the shepherds of Israel a review. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 and 2. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? So as God begins his review and helping us understand what a shepherd is, he starts with this word, woe. And he's not talking to a horse to get it stopped. This is one of the strongest warnings that you ever see in Scripture. This is the same warning that Jesus gave the Pharisees. He gave them seven woes to say, hey, woe. Understand, what you're doing, not only is it dangerous to the flock, it's dangerous to you. So the presence of that word means that as a shepherd, as somebody that is supposed to be shepherding sheep, which guess what? Everybody here, hopefully you've gotten the memo. If you are a follower of Christ, you are not a sheep. You are supposed to be shepherding people, leading people toward Christ. That's the job description. And so if you're a shepherd, you care greatly about this word, woe. And as we look at that review, you also see that God uses a second word. He says, I'm prophesied against. So you get the picture, right? God is not just a little upset or displeased. God is angry at these shepherds of Israel. And he's angry because guess what? They aren't doing their job. They're shepherds. They're not thieves. Well, maybe they are. We'll find out. They're not hired hands. God identifies them. You guys are the ones that raised your hand and said, count me in. I'm going to shepherd. And so God says, guess what? You're not doing your job. And I find that convicting. Especially when the fact that you begin to look at exactly what God says they aren't doing. He has four charges that he issues against these shepherds of Israel. The charges, well, you eat curds, clothe yourself with wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. Could this be us? Are we as shepherds guilty of being bad shepherds? Well, let's pull these apart and look at the exact four charges that God makes against these people, and let's see if it fits us. Charge number one, you eat curds and clothe yourself with wool and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. So the first thing he says is that you're eating curds, and no, this is not with little Miss Muffet sitting on her tuffet. Curds are, well, it's a processed cheese product is what it is. And in the times that this chapter would have been written, this would have been considered a delicacy. Hardly normal shepherd food. In fact, it's something they would have to buy which means they would have to have money. And guess where they would have to get the money? They would have to sell off, well, their possessions, which would be the sheep. So they were sitting there eating this delicacy that they had gone out and purchased, and they were doing it at the expense of their flock. He goes on to say that they're wearing wool. Well, what's wrong with that? I like wool. There's nothing wrong with it, but just think about it for a second. Where did the wool come from? Probably their sheep. And it's not like you can shear a sheep and then you just take the wool and put it all over yourself, right? That doesn't work. It has to be processed and sent out. And instead of taking the processed wool and selling it for the good of the flock, they were taking it back and they were using it to clothe themselves. Okay. It says they slaughter the choice animals. Now, I don't know if you've ever had sheep or lamb to eat, but you do know there's only one kind of lamb, some kind of sheep is really a choice one to eat, right? That's the baby ones. That's what they were slaughtering. They were killing off their future to feed their bellies today. They were taking the little lambs, the ones that they were supposed to be nurturing, that's supposed to be tomorrow's flock, tomorrow's sheep, and they were killing them off and throwing festivals and having parties, and they were consuming them. It says they're slowly consuming the flock for their own benefit. Is this us? Is what we're doing as a church, is what we're doing as shepherds, are we taking the things that God has given us and the people and the responsibility that God has given us, and one by one, little by little, we're taking it and we're saying, you know what, I need this for my life so that I can be comfortable, so I can sit, so that I can eat fine things, so that I can have fine clothes, so that I can have all of the fine things of life that I want, and you know what, who cares about the flock? And one by one, we just have consumed our own flock. There is actually a Christian book out there. Interesting read if you ever want to use it. It's a book about church. And it's called They Eat Their Young. What a title. But I have to wonder sometimes, as the people that are supposed to be shepherding the flock, is this not what we're doing? We're consuming for our own benefit. Of course, it gets worse. Like, really? Yeah, it does, because it says, you have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You know what the real problem with these shepherds were? Why they're bad shepherds? These folks have no time for sheep. No time for sheep. Don't you understand? I've got a life to live. I've got things to do. I've got places to go. Don't you get it? I don't have time for sheep. And you know what? It shows, because they've got sheep that are malnourished. It says they haven't been strengthened. They're not even feeding these things. They're letting them wander around in their pens, and you know, they're probably kind of skinny sheep. Maybe they're fattening up the ones they're going to eat, but the rest of them, who cares? They're just sheep. And so they're allowing them to wander around, and they're all skinny, and they're looking at them, and God says, you're not doing your job, because, look, you're not even taking the time to feed your sheep. You've got sheep that are sick. There's nobody to take care of them. They're walking around, and they've got physical struggles in their life, and the shepherd is sitting there with his wool sweater, and his nice bowl of processed cheese, and his choice lamb, and he's sitting there feeding his face and keeping warm, and there are his sheep sitting there sick. And he does nothing. Really? Do we find ourselves there sometimes? You've got sheep that are injured, and nobody will even give them a Band-Aid to fix their problem. That's what it says they're doing. You see, this is what happens oftentimes, and I'm guilty. I get so busy doing the things that I want to do, or that I think benefit me, that I forget that's not what I was called to be. Right? If I raised my hand and said, hey, I want to be a follower of Christ, then Jesus says, congratulations. I am the good shepherd. Go forth and do likewise. I want you to be a shepherd. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Look after my flock. And sometimes I just think the problem is that we don't have time for this. Because I've got too much else in my life that I have to take care of. And so the flock, well, it just has to wait. I'll get to it someday. It gets worse. These shepherds, God has a third charge for them. He says, you have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. Ouch. Let me just give you the paraphrase version for this. Forget about looking for new sheep. God wants to know what happens to the ones you had. I don't know. I swear they were here a minute ago. When I crawled under that haystack to take my nap, I know that there were sheep here. God, I don't know where they are. He wants to know, where are they? If you think back through the years, and as I mentioned this, I'm sure there are names and faces and people that you can think that, haven't we all said it? They used to go here. Here's the question. Where are they now? Have we, the shepherds, gotten so content in our life that we've allowed them and they're out there and they're just wandering the meadow? Well, here I am. See, as they wandered away, God wants to know, how did you treat them? When they decided that, you know what, I'm going to move on, and you know what, this whole church thing really isn't for me, did you lecture them about being a stupid sheep? Come on, we've all had these conversations before in our life, right? Is that how you went? Or did you pursue them like they were a valued individual? I think our approach matters. Because I think a lot of times we see sheep wandering and we're like, really? Again? Seriously? When are you going to get this right? Again? Now? Don't you know this is not the best time of your life for you to do this? Come on. And then when we pursue them, we make matters worse. And remember that bull in the china closet I showed you a few weeks ago? That's exactly what we did. We go charging into their life and we break it. And then instead of bringing the sheep back home, we scatter them abroad. And you know what? Guilty. I've done that. I know I've done it. And only if I've been a neglectful shepherd, there are times that I have been an abusive shepherd. But here's the real tricky question. How long did it take you to notice they were gone? Those wayward sheep that we now sit here and say, it used to work. Did you notice they were gone when the offerings dropped? How many pews had to empty before we realized, you know what, something's wrong with this picture. This is all going in the wrong direction here. We're supposed to be bringing sheep, not losing sheep. You see, these are important questions for us to answer if we're going to raise our hand and say, God, I want to follow you. Therefore, I accept the responsibility of shepherding. Therefore, I accept the responsibility of taking care of sheep. And it's a time-consuming, exhausting job. But when God looks at it, He says it's an important job. Speaking of how we treat sheep, God goes on in charge number four. He says, you have ruled them harshly and brutally. And again, I use this word, abusive. And I know the first thing you want to say is, I never beat a sheep. Nope, not physically. But we judge them. We scold them. We condemn them. We lecture them. We complain about them. Pick your term. To the point that we have such an attitude that when we approach a wayward sheep, it's all we can be, is abusive. To the point that the sheep runs. If you ever watch the sheep run, that usually ends badly for the sheep. Because sheep don't run so well, especially the domesticated kind. And as I look at this, I just can't help but wonder, what are the results? I don't have to wonder. Because this is what God says happens from bad shepherding. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 5 and 6. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep have wandered all over the mountains and all over the high hills. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. God wants to make sure you understand. Bad shepherd means no shepherd. If you're not doing the shepherd's job, then you can expect exactly what God says is going to happen here. It says the sheep are going to be scattered. Something's caused chaos and confusion, and they're going to try to run for safety because guess what? They have no shepherd to run to, so the only thing they can do is attempt to run from. And again, if you've ever watched sheep, you understand. When they scatter, it's like a herd of kittens. Every which way. That's sheep. Because they have no natural defense. It says that in their scattering, they had become food for predators. So how many of our used-to-bes are off living life and this world has overcome them, overtaking them? They've walked away from the church and they've walked away from God and they're saying, you know what? I don't need this. And they've just been consumed by life. They've been processed like a Thanksgiving turkey and put out there to be purchased. Because that's what this world does. That's a sad story for these sheep, isn't it? They've wandered into dangerous situations while we've been sitting here. Our sheep have wandered in places that honestly should scare us half to death. I remember when the boys were little, both of them liked to wander for different reasons. But there is nothing more terrifying as a parent than to be in a store and look and that little child that's supposed to be with you is nowhere to be found. And then you holler and there's no answer. And what do? You take what you're doing and you put it to the side and you go look in the aisles for them, calling their name. And hopefully eventually they answer, right? Well, fortunately, mine always answered. They did come home. But what about our sheep? Those people that God gave us to take care of and we allowed them to wander off. And now they're in dangerous situations and God says, nobody even has time to go look for these people. Because we're just too busy. As a matter of fact, they've gone so far away, we don't even know where to start looking. I don't even know how to begin this job, God. How do I go and reach out to somebody that hasn't been to this church in 5 years but is going nowhere now? How do I start that conversation, God? What's the first thing I should say? I don't even know where to begin. So you know what most of us do, right? Myself included. I just let them go. Because I don't want to have to deal with the fact that it should have never gotten that far. The moment they began to wander, the shepherds should have been active. But you do understand. Where are the people that were to look after the sheep? We're sitting in our pews, fast asleep. We're just sitting here. We come and we worship, and, well, there's a few more less people this week. Oh, well, maybe next week the numbers will go back up. And God says, you know what? That's not the way this is supposed to work. Do I have your attention yet? If you were to classify yourself, or more importantly, this church, as a shepherding church, how would you classify us? Because you need to understand, bad shepherds make bad sheep. This is what it says in 34 verses 17 through 19. As for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says, I will judge between one sheep and another. Notice, it's not your job, this is God's job. And between the rams and the goats, it is not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, must you also trample the rest of your pasture with your feet? Is it not enough that you drink clear water, must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled and drink what you have muddied with your feet? You get it. The sheep were just left, and they will literally, you know, sheep will actually eat a pasture bare. They will just keep going and keep trampling, and then the water that they drink is the water that they get in, and they stomp around, they get, and then they drink it. And God is saying, this is what bad shepherding leads to. Instead of a flock that is growing and healthy, what you have is chaos, where sheep are doing what they want to do, and the shepherds, well, they're there. We're sitting on our tuffets with our bowl of curds and our wool sweaters, and we're saying, okay. It'll get better, right? No, it won't. You know why? Because sheep are sheep, and they need a shepherd. God knew this. Now, if all of that hasn't kind of rung your bell a little bit, God doesn't let the shepherds off the hook. As a matter of fact, right at the end of that, in Ezekiel chapter 34, God tells the shepherds what he's going to do. God tells the shepherds what the responsibility is, and this is what he tells the shepherds. Notice, this is not a call to make better sheep. This is a call to make great shepherds. And this is what God says, if you want to be the irresponsible shepherd, here's your fate. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than my flock, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. Does that send the cold chill up your spine? Does that not get your attention to understand how serious God is about this? He's like, fine, you don't want to be a shepherd? You don't want to do this the way that I say do it? Then fine. First, I'm going to be against you. Then I'm going to take the sheep from you. And then I'm going to take everything else until you literally starve to death. I am going to cut you off. That sounds bad, doesn't it? That's what God sees as a bad shepherd. God doesn't have a lot of time or a lot of sympathy for them. They've been given a job to do, and they raised their hand and said, I will be responsible. And they haven't lived up to it. I don't want to be a bad shepherd. I've got to figure out how to change it. And it begins with accepting responsibility. Little boy blue, come blow your horn. Again, the nursery rhyme is a call to make, not a call to make good sheep, it is a call to make a great shepherd. I want you to memorize that statement, because you know what, you're going to hear that an awful lot over the next year or so. We are called not to just make good sheep. I'm supposed to be making great shepherds. That means I don't have to teach you much of the basics, but we have to teach you how to actually take care of some sheep, how to have that relationship. And well, in that little nursery rhyme, there is an outline that I'd like you to consider about how to take the first step toward becoming a good shepherd. It's a call to action. You can't take this sermon home and say, nice sermon. You have to fill in the blanks to fill in anyway, so you're not going to be able to follow the way, so that's okay. But you can't go home. You're going to have to go home and really search yourself and ask yourself, am I being the shepherd God has called me to be? And then there's some actions you're going to have to take. See, the call was for little boy Blue to go blow his horn. But for that to happen, there's some other things that have to happen first. And let's take a look at them. The first thing that he's going to have to do, he's going to have to wake up. Okay? No sleep horn blowing. He is going to have to get the sleepies out of his eyes. He is going to have to get up from where he is. Wake up. If he's going to blow that horn, he's going to have to stop hiding. No more under the haystack, folks. That means you're going to have to crawl out from under it. Because if you try to blow the horn while you're underneath the haystack, that's sitting on a full hay, you're going to get no noise at all. I don't know much about musical instruments, but I know if it's stuffed full of hay, it's not going to make a sound. You're going to have to stop hiding from the responsibility of being a shepherd. You're going to have to become aware of your surroundings. You are. It isn't enough that you just crawl up underneath the haystack. You're, oh, okay, I'm awake, God. Now he wants you to look around. See where your sheep are? They're up on the meadow. And by the way, that cow that you kind of had as a side job, he's over there trampling the corn. You've got to become aware of where you are in this situation. And then you're going to have to go to the meadow where the sheep can see you and you can see the sheep. You're not going to be able to sit there at your haystack and say, okay, God, they're not listening. It says you're going to actually have to move away from your nice, comfy, secure nap and go out to that meadow and chase some sheep. That sounds like a lot of work, doesn't it? I've chased a sheep in my life before, once, and will only be once. I chased a real live sheep. Sometimes they might be easier than chasing people, though. But God says, you know what? That's what this is all about. See, to accept the responsibility of reassembling the flock. This time of COVID has scattered many sheep, don't you think? People that were looking for reasons not to be at church now have one. And online is good. Again, I'm not criticizing people that want to stay online. I understand. We want people to be safe. And if you've got a medical reason and you've got a purpose for... online is cool. We're keeping track of the online people as best we can. But let's just face it. We have got some sheep that use this as their reason to find the exit. And you know what? Maybe it's time we figure out where they are. Maybe it's time that we get off of our pew and go out and say, okay, where are the sheep that God gave me to tend? Why are they not coming? And you notice I keep using this word we, because you know what? It's all of our responsibility to go out and figure out where are the sheep. It's our job to assemble this flock. How do I know? Jesus said so. Remember Peter? Peter, do you love me? Yes, God. Good. Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Yes, God. Good. Take care of my sheep. He gave the job to Peter. And that job has been passed down through the church for centuries, if you've signed up to do it. Now, if you choose to say, you know what, this doesn't apply to me, I'm doing the best I can, I don't have time for this, I want you to understand, you can choose to be irresponsible But I want you to hold on to Ezekiel chapter 34 right there at the end, because God says, you can choose it and I will allow it, but you understand I'm going to hold you accountable for every single sheep you lost. How many? I got to thinking about this when I was writing this sermon. I could probably fill up a book of the sheep that I have been responsible for losing over the years. I can't fix a lot of it. But I can wake up and maybe try to fix the ones I can. Maybe I can at least reach out and apologize to the ones that I scattered with my actions. Maybe I can go figure out why that person's not there anymore. And the best I can do is maybe I can never bring them back to this pen, but maybe I can help them get them somewhere else where they can be safe and not wandering the hillside. You see, this is a call to action, folks. But the first thing we need to understand is what bad shepherding looks like. And now it's time for you to make your own decision. Have you been a bad shepherd? I'm not going to judge you. It's not my job. I got one person to worry about as far as being a bad shepherd. That's me. And I can tell you, I fall short, very short, in a lot of the things that I see from this scripture. And it's going to prove overnight? No. I'm going to try hard, and I'm going to work hard at it. But you know what? I'm going to falter. And that's why this guy puts all of us together, because where I am weakest, maybe that's your strength. We're supposed to be doing this as a collective group, shepherding this flock toward a relationship with Christ. Both the people sitting here, the people online, the choice lambs that are downstairs, these are the people that God has given us. And he looked at us and said, shepherd them. So let me encourage you this morning. Make a choice.